Bhagavatam, this is Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena this morning, text number 6. The Lord continuing to address Maharaj Prithu. Asam saktaha, sharire, asmin, amunotpadite, grihe, apatye, yovinne, vapi, ta, kuryan, mamata, buddha, asamsakta sharire smin, amutnotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, asamsakta sharire smin, amunotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, samsakta sharire smin, amunotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, samsakta sharire smin,
amunotpadite grihe,
apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, asamsakta sharire smin, amunotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, asamsakta sharire smin, amunotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha,
samsakta
sharire smin, amunotpadite grihe, apatye dravne vapi, kakuryan mamatam buddha, asamsaktaha, being unattached, sharire, to the body, asmin, this, amuna, by such a bodily conception, utpadite, produced, grihe, house, apatye, children, dravane, wealth, va, or, api, also, kaha, who, kuryat, would do, mamatam, affinity, buddha, learned person. Translation. How can a highly learned person who has absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of life be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth, and similar other bodily productions? Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are certainly meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. However, by such activities, one does not factually satisfy the Lord. Rather, with the sanction of the Lord, one tries to satisfy one's own senses. In other words, materialists who are especially interested in sense gratification are given permission or license to enjoy sense gratification by executing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. This is called Trigunya Vishaya Vedaha. The Vedic performances are based on the three modes of material nature. Those who are elevated above the material condition are not at all interested in such Vedic performances. Rather, they are interested in the higher duties of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotional service is called Nistraigunya. Devotional service to the Lord has nothing to do with the material conception of bodily comfort. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschacchare Satarane Omangyaram Timarandasya Granjana Shlakaya Chaksurin Miritum Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. How can a highly learned person, Buddha, who has absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of life, the word affinity is here mamata, in other words, the sense of mine. There's a ham mama, mama mameti, they say. I am the body. That's the first part, and the second part, and whatever is in relationship to the body is mine. These are the two divisions or aspects of false ego, I and mine, both illusory. How can a highly learned person who has absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of life be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth, and similar other bodily productions? So that neither the I am not this body, and nothing in relationship to the body really belongs to me. To whom does it belong? Well, it belongs to Krishna. But here Prabhupada wants to talk a little more about the sacrificial performances. They are meant to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he said, but actually he's not pleased. Because, he says, rather with the sanction of the Lord, one tries to satisfy one's own senses. And of course, the level of most religion or material piety. It's interesting that if you have spent time in conventional churches and things like that, a great deal of time is spent preaching to people to be on the bodily platform. Because you're urged to take care of your children, take care of your wife, care for your husband. They want to preach family values, which basically, as it turns out, to be people are getting totally entangled. The highest piety is the person follows the rules and regulations of householder life, and this is all glorified. Now you can see why they preach like that, because they want men to when they get their paycheck, not to go into the bar and spend it all, but to bring it home and give it so their wife and children are taken care of. In other words, this material piety is certainly far superior to just sinful life. But so you can say this is good, and good is better than bad. But good is also becomes the enemy of the best. Then you become on this platform. Then you say, now I'm pious. Everything is fine. I go to church. I put money in the box. I sponsor some religious activities. I do these things, and now everything is fine. Well, I'm completely, and I feel myself far better than these people who just go out and perform so many unregulated activities, otherwise known as sins. So the Bhagavatam is trying to get us to a higher platform. That's why the name actually for a materially attached householder is Griha Medhi. The word Medhi means sacrifice, one who performs sacrifices at home. So it's the pious householder. The idea of such piety, however, is but materialist householder, is that one has to come to the higher position. Here from the Bhagavatam, this point that Prabhupada has made here, with the sanction of the Lord, one tries to satisfy one's own senses. With the sanction of the Lord. In other words, I believe in God, but what is God's business? It is to satisfy my senses. I'm worshiping God and all those things, and I'm following some rules and regulations. Then we have a deal. That I'll stay within certain boundaries, but you'll make sure that my senses are satisfied within those boundaries. It's more like business. It's not really devotion. So people who are pious, materially pious, they believe in God, but still they themselves are the center of sense gratification. Their idea is to satisfy their own senses, and God revolves around me. I am the enjoyer, and his job is to facilitate that. If he doesn't, then I become angry and resentful and maybe decide there's no God. Prabhupada said that this idea about God leads to atheism. He gives the example of when the Bolsheviks were taking over in Russia. They made systematic propaganda among the peasants. There was a famine. It was actually induced by the government, but there was a famine. And the peasants would come to the government and say, we have no bread. And the commissars would say, well, you're praying. Give us this day our daily bread. So you're praying, go to the church and ask the priest to give you the bread. So they went to the church and they said, please give us our daily bread. They said, we don't have any bread. So they went back to the commissars and they said, now ask us. And then here's the bread. So who can actually... So this way they fostered atheism from this idea of this level of religion. In the Bhagavatam, this is the 7th canto, 5th chapter, this famous verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj is answering the question, what's the best that you have learned from your teachers, to his father, Hiranyakashipu. And so he lists these nine items of devotional service: hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, forms, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything to him. In other words, serving him with body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine processes should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So it says, one should form, in the Sanskrit, kriyeta bhagavati adha. One should perform these completely or wholly for the Lord. Adha. The prophet comments on this. He says, after performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activities customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavati Adha, one must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyas. The word nyas means setting aside. Like you set aside some for Vishnu. Sannyas means you set aside everything. So it says, this is called sannyas, not merely nyas. A tridandi sannyasi carries three dandas, signifying kaya, mano, vakya. Body, kaya, mano, mind, vakya, words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu. And then one can begin devotional service. That's really when one embarks on the path of Lord Chaitanya, anya abhilasita shunyam, one should be void of any ulterior motives, jnana karmadi anavritam, empty of all the desires of for both jnana, karma, and so on. It doesn't mean that to begin pure devotional service that one should be free from material desires, but one should be free from the desire to satisfy your desires by devotional service. Then you're on the path of pure devotional service. Naturally, in the beginning, there'll be material desires. But your goal is to get rid of them and not to satisfy and increase them. That's why this path is pure bhakti. So all of these, body, mind, and words, should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities, and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with body, mind, and words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. He should serve Krishna as Krishna wants, anushilanam, according to what do you want, Krishna? So, in other words, the dividing line is that now, for a devotee, the center of sense gratification is Krishna. My goal is to become simply concerned with satisfying Krishna's senses. So, the principle of sense gratification is always there. But in spiritual life, it means that I am to satisfy Krishna's senses. What do you want? And my body, mind, and words are dedicated to satisfy Krishna's senses. What about me? Krishna will take care. I'm his property. I'm sure he'll take care of me. I have full confidence in him. I don't have to worry about it. You just surrender to Krishna,
offering him everything, and don't worry what will become of me, what will my future be. Krishna is saying that, you know, I'll take care of your future, I'll be your career manager, I'll watch out for you, and I'll, when he says Masu Chaha, don't be worried, it really means, you know, you don't have to be in any anxiety, I'll relieve you of this distraction, so you can simply concentrate on devotional service. This is what Bhakti Siddhanta says about this, 1866. So this is the difference. So people perform these rituals and they offer something to God, but there really is, their aim is their own sense gratification. When they've really understood pure bhakti, then they simply aim at a satisfaction of Krishna. And everything that they formerly thought was I and my conception of I changes. That is to say, now I belong to Krishna. I am Krishna's servant. There's two aspects of that, and I am not this body. Although I have this body, it's like a tool. I use it in Krishna's service. It does not belong to me. It belongs to Krishna. I didn't make it. I didn't produce it. I don't really have a certificate of ownership even, just given to me. I use it in Krishna service. And similarly, everything in relation to the body, I also engage all that in Krishna service also. So this is the platform. And so then that's what it means to be above the modes of nature, one aspect of it, nistrigunya. This is the transcendental position. Especially, he says, what about this house, children, and wealth, and similar other body productions? Again, they do not belong to me. They're also Krishna's possessions. One other thing to do, of course, this idea that everything should not be attached is sometimes carried and misunderstood. I just want to read one of the items of knowledge in chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita is lack freedom from entanglement with children, wife, you can say spouse, home, and the rest. Huh? That's one of the items. The Prabhupada comments on this. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. We are sometimes in the early days of ISKCON, we are instructed to have no feeling. We led to some dramatic abuse and neglect and so on. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The idea is they have to be, by engaging everything Krishna service, then they are favorable to spiritual progress. Then they're not an impediment. They're not a distraction from service to Krishna. So how do we make them favorable? The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. Now everybody wants a pleasant home. It's very difficult when the home is not pleasant. So that you may say that's a material value, but it's also a spiritual value too. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy because the process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. So notice Prabhupada distinctly mentions four, so you can remember them. These four things. One should train the members of his family in this way. the family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, again he mentions four, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. So the ultimate value is one has to make spiritual progress. Otherwise, you're wasting your life. You've got this life, and the time passes, and what have I got to show for it? Nothing. But here, this is the process. So he suggests chant together, more as a family, morning and evening, 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be an elaborate thing, a Hare Krishna mantra. Offer all the foodstuff, worship the deity, and read together some spiritual Bhagavatam, Krishna book, whatever it may be. Those four things. So if that's none, it's very nice. Then the home life is favorable. And gradually, of course, although I may in the beginning see the family members on the bodily platform, gradually we will come to the position of seeing each other as in relationship to Krishna. That's why it's called an ashram, grahastha ashram. It's a place for spiritual advancement. And if that is done, the interesting thing is, again, what you may give up on the material platform, you get back on the spiritual platform, but in a real way. In other words, when people are in the material family association, they want to be together. They're really attached to each other. They can't give up this attachment. They want to be together. But of course, they cannot stay together. And at the time of death, it's over. If not sooner, it's usually sooner, since families have this distressing tendency to break up, or even, you know, the children grow up and they go away. They don't even give you a birthday card. They disappear. We don't really have real family life anymore, as it's supposed to be. But then they want to stay together, and then they're scattered by the winds of karma. One goes here, one goes there. They never see each other again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a comparison. We come together like straws in the stream. You clump together for a little while, then you disperse. And that's all that happens. But if the family is Krishna conscious by this method, then father goes back to Godhead, mother goes back to Godhead, children go back to Godhead. So you're eternal associates. And Prabhupada said that about ISKCON. He said, we are eternal associates. He said, there's another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. But Mr. Nair must stay. Mr. Nair was the person who was trying to cheat him in buying the property in Bombay. So Prabhupada was particularly irked with him. So there's a fact. We are all eternal associates. And that way, actually, by giving up this attachment on the material level and seeing, it means in these relationships between the husband and wife or between parent and child, there's always a middle term, and that middle term is Krishna. In other words, we see each other in relationship to Krishna. Husband sees the wife as a devotee, engaged in the service of Krishna. Wife sees the husband. We see the children. Are they my children? Well, not really. This is our long-term bhakta program. We get to start really early. If you really do it right before conception, And we have this tendency, this business to raise devotees in Krishna's service right from the very beginning. So it's very nice. Krishna has sent these nice devotees. It's supposed to be a good birth for me to train and teach in Krishna consciousness. So I do that for Krishna. And that way the affection for children becomes spiritualized. So this is the real method. And one can do this completely engaged in Krishna service. It doesn't mean that there's no family life or anything like that, but this is how it should be done. Even Prabhupada tried really hard. He stayed in family life until his wife sold his Bhagavatams for tea biscuits. And I think that was the last straw. That was the last straw for him. Then it was no longer possible. Even though it was difficult, he kept it up until this happened. There's no disadvantage to Krishna consciousness. There's not a disadvantage in any way to this idea of fully surrendering to Krishna. There will be nothing lacking on the spiritual platform or the material platform. This is called faith. To have that full conviction that when I execute, when I achieve Krishna consciousness, automatically all other things will be done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that definition. Yeah.
Prabhu, before the cash flows, could you comment on this kind of paradox where, as you mentioned, people who become very dutiful, sacrificing, they're not sinful, they're better than being sinful, but then it can also be binding, because I think that's the whole show. In the famous few lines to the purport of 12:11, where Krishna says, if you can't even follow the rules and regulations of bhakti, then just try to,
become self-situated.
Yeah, become self-situated, be sacrificing.
No, first you work for me, then you...
What Prabhupada says in the purport is, he says, of course, as you said, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any other experience, because Krishna consciousness itself can purify one's mind. But if there are impediments to accepting Krishna consciousness, one may try to give up the results of his actions in that respect. Social service, community service, national service, and sacrifice to one's country may be accepted so that someday, there's the operative phrase,
sure.
One may come to the stage of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So can you comment on what is that crucial event that it doesn't become binding anymore, the transition is made.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's that when you become pious like this, and you want to help out other people, you somehow or other get the association of devotees. And a lot of times it's a gata sukriti. You give money to all different causes, so one of those causes is Krishna consciousness. And you appreciate the devotees. It has to be somehow through the association of devotees and doing service to devotees. And then things turn around. And because you become detached, you're not greedy for the fruits of your work. You're looking for the welfare of others. You may also be ready to be able to understand what is the highest welfare work.
So that piety sort of prepares you.
Yeah.
Prepares the ground, so to speak, to receive the seed.
Yeah, Prabhupada talks about this in different kinds of things that people who are, say you're a good guy and you help people in distress and somebody's car is broken down on the side of the road, you don't speed by, you stop and help them. And then one time it's some devotees who have a flat tire, you help them, so then you've done a gata sukriti. Yeah, so that Prabhupada's also mentioned the advantage of poverty in this respect. A rich man, you can never get to see him. You can't get to his house, stay away, beware the dog, security systems and everything else. But a poor man's house open to everybody. And so when the devotees go door to door, they're traveling sannyasis, they also receive them, and therefore they have this advantage that way. Again, because of that openness. Like that. Okay. Yeah?
In the purport to that, verse that describes the principles of knowledge, that one should be detached from the body and that same purport where you're reading about if the family is favorable, there's no need to be detached. But isn't it that for Krishna conscious devotees that are advancing in spiritual life, that at some point they do have to leave their family, even if they're favorable to Krishna consciousness? At some point they do have to take sannyas.
Well, not necessarily sannyas, but some kind of vanaprastha at least. Anyway, the family, the children grow up and go away. And that at least is a natural time. Because now you don't have to worry about them anymore. And you're getting older, and you know, you hand over whatever enterprise is to other people, and you take retired life or sannyas. Yeah, in the end, you know, if you that once one should do what is necessary to concentrate the mind fully on Krishna.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He didn't fly
with her. No, he put on Babaji vase somewhere. Yeah. So however it happens, yeah. But if you do like this, generally if you have Varnashram Dharma, Brahmanas take sannyas, not Kshatriyas. There was an early Bhagavatam painting showing Maharaj Yudhisthira going to Himalayas with a tree dandi, and the prophet said, "This is wrong." He's a kshatriya, they don't take sannyas, they take vanaprastha. So it may differ according to people. So.
I know in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was saying very strongly that at a certain stage of life, everyone must.
Yeah, he has said that too. There's a kind of thing where. He says that sometimes it's a little different. Yeah.
So we have to take the spirit. What does sannyas mean?
Yeah, I mean that's. But see, one should always have this. One should actually have this determination that what this grihastha ashram, one should be renounced before and renounced after, and that period of grihastha time, one should see this is not my whole life. You know, don't become like the Duke and Duchess of Windsor or something. You know, 80-year-old lovebirds. You gotta stop messing with Prabhupada.